I've been told that my voice carries, sometimes to my great disadvantage. But at any rate, just to know that while we don't know, God certainly does. And someday we'll know just as we are known. He knows us completely. Someday we will know completely. That's what I get out of this verse. Okay, thank you very much. Good choice of song. Enjoyed the ride over this morning, as I always do. Brought my buddy Art Westfall, no stranger to these parts. As we ride along, he points out this place and that place and who lived there and all of these things. He's adding to my knowledge of the area. I know he misses being here, but it's great to have him in our midst and some other folks from Atlantic, and that includes Scott and his girlfriend. Love to see them there. They make a great-looking couple. And at any rate, I got to tell you, Scott has acquitted himself well in our midst. He's a credit to himself and to you folks here in Atlantic that brought him along, raised him. You did a great job, and it's our good fortune to have him fellowshipping with us most of the year. And his college time is moving along. Pretty soon it will be Dr. Scott. Now, don't forget that. Dr. Scott. And he will be deserving of that title, believe me, after 6 years of cramming all that knowledge in his head. Yeah, crop report. Didn't see hardly any. I haven't seen any. Well, I did yesterday. I went to the Omaha conference, and I did see one cornfield that had been combined. There's several bean fields that have been combined, but not so much corn. So early part of the harvest, so you get to see all the standing corn there. That's a beautiful sight to me. All the rows, they curve around the side of the hills, but all in parallel rows and stuff like that. To me, that's a thing of beauty. And so I think you guys are looking forward to a bumper crop, in my opinion, which probably means the prices are somewhat depleted. Although, and I'm looking for verification, you know, when the governor became the ambassador to China, it was said about that time that some arrangement was made whereby China is buying enough soybeans to equal the entire crop in the state of Iowa. Is that true? Something like that. So that's got to jack the price up a little bit. But otherwise, if the harvest is a little better than usual, that generally translates to lower prices and the other way around, all that. What do I know? I'm born in the city and stuff like that. But I still think it's neat. Any rate, I guess that's all the prelims. Well, I was just going to mention, I drove through the rain, blinding rain, to the conference in Omaha yesterday. Had a good crowd, good ministry, as you would expect. And the Lord was watching out for me. I was telling Art, I got just to mile marker 27 on Interstate 80. You know, that's just after the fork in the road where 680 goes on west and 80 heads southwest towards Council Bluffs in Omaha. And like I say, visibility poor and came around a curve. And here's this aluminum ladder right in the middle of the road, largely parallel with the lanes, but a little to the side. And I didn't have but just that long to decide. It's my policy not to straddle things. I learned the hard way on that. But in this particular case, I really didn't have a lot of choice. I felt that if I swerved, I would have lost control. So I straddled it, crunch, underneath the car. And I thought, oh my, what had I done? So I'm looking at my gauges, seeing if my ruptured my fluid in the radiator, and no, the temperature held, and kept trying the brakes to make sure I didn't rupture any brake lines and stuff like that. I think I might have made it, thankfully, but I'm going to take the car in tomorrow and have them put it on a rack and just have them look under there, because there might be something that's compromised. But the Lord was looking out for me, and doesn't he always? Doesn't he always? Thankfully, I'm here today to talk about it. Talk about more of the attributes of God. And I've enjoyed this study immensely, as I have expressed many times here. And it is so wonderful. Well, it's enhanced my appreciation of the Psalms. There's so much in the Psalms that talk about the various attributes of God. His mercy. His mercy endureth forever. Remember the song that has that as the chorus, you know, something about God. For his mercy endureth forever. Every verse. And the reason for that is because his mercy endures forever. Wonderful thought. One of his attributes, his mercy, wonderful. And as I read the Psalms, I'm looking for evidences of these different attributes. But more than that, I think the thing I appreciate about being given the opportunity to think more deeply about the attributes of God, it reminds me of what a great God he is. How can I not trust a God like this? When you hear and read and think about everything that he is, well, it's an outright insult not to believe God. I do anyway, or at least I have fleeting doubts time and time again, but I believe it has strengthened my faith immeasurably, as I think just about some of the attributes of God. Now, in the past, we have looked at a number of his attributes. An attribute of God is something God chooses to reveal about himself, and I don't want to get hung up on repeating all of the things that I have said before, because I'll never get to the new stuff, but just to sort of set our minds about this particular study, because it is, I will say, a little bit abstract. It is for me anyway. But when you get into it, it turns out to be immensely, immensely practical. An attribute of God is something God chooses to reveal about himself. God is infinite. We are finite. Thus, if we are to know God, he must reveal himself. The primary sources of information that he has provided for us, of course, are the scriptures and nature. We see attributes of God in nature. His eternal power and Godhead are evident to everyone apart from the Word of God. And, of course, supremely, we see the attributes of God displayed in the Lord Jesus Christ, the incarnate Word, the one who came into the world possessing all of the attributes of God and displaying them for our benefit and for our understanding. And this is another thing that I appreciate out of this study, being reminded of how God cares enough for us to show us in this dramatic way, that is through the presence of Jesus Christ, just what he was like. How would we know? What would we know about God if it weren't for Jesus Christ? But in him we see all the fullness of God in bodily form. That passage that was read to us in the first hour from the book of Hebrews. Marvelous, marvelous passage of scriptures that remind us of the greatness of God and as displayed in the Lord Jesus Christ. The divine attributes are what we know to be true of God. He does not possess them as qualities. They are how God is as he reveals himself to his creatures. Love, for instance, is not something God has and which may grow or diminish or cease to be. His love is the way God is. And of course, there's a verse of scripture to that effect. God is love. And when he loves, he is simply being himself. And so with the other attributes of God. Speaking of all the other attributes, God exercises all of his attributes all of the time, undiminished in magnitude. When he is acting in love, it is never at the expense of his wisdom, judgment, and holiness. When he is acting in judgment, it is not at the expense of his love. All of his attributes are present all of the time in undiminished magnitude. They don't fade. They don't get stronger or less strong as time goes by. And the God of the Old Testament is the same as the God of the New Testament, contrary to popular opinion. God's attributes never increase, decrease, or change. We look first at the attribute of the Trinity. God exists as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, yet as a unity, which is the most difficult thing to imagine. We can best come up with analogies about the Trinity, such as the three phases of water. Water exists as ice, as a liquid, or as a vapor. All are chemically the same thing, but the same thing that exists in different forms. A weak analogy, but probably the best that I have heard and the best certainly that I can come up with. Although God is a Trinity, ever and always he is acting as a unity. All of God does all that God does. I repeated that many times. All of God does all that God does. Everything that God does, he operates in cooperation. He does not divide himself to perform a work, but he works in the total unity of his being. And we see God acting as a Trinity in creation, in the incarnation, in Jesus' baptism. All three were there at the same time, God the Father, voice from heaven, Jesus there, of course, in person, and the Holy Spirit appearing as a dove. All members of the Godhead present and evident there. Similarly, we all are operative and present in the atonement, in Jesus' resurrection, in our salvation, and in God's indwelling. We think of the Holy Spirit as indwelling us, but in John, the Gospel of John, Jesus says, we will make our home with him. We, meaning all of God, is present within the believer. Then we looked at God's self-existence. He is the great I Am. All events in the universe are the result of prior action of something else except those which God initiates. This leads to that, so on and so forth. That's true of everything else in the universe, but when it comes to God, nothing initiated God. He was just always there. He is the great I Am. All objects are created. All objects are created. Think about it. Whether it's what we see in front of our eyes at the moment or whether it's the planets in the universe, all created. God is the ultimate creator. He alone was uncreated. Enough of that. God is self-sufficient. That's another of his attributes we looked at. To be the ultimate cause, God cannot be dependent on anything else. Hence, he is self-sufficient. He's not dependent on anything. He exists by virtue of his inherent power. Then we looked at God's immutability the last time. God does not change, and he cannot change. He can't get better because he's already perfection. How do you improve on God? Can't be done. So he does not change, and he certainly doesn't get worse. He wouldn't be God if he did. So God is immutable. He never changes. His existence does not change, nor does his character or his truth or his ways or his purposes or his promises. God never changes moods or cools off in his affection or loses enthusiasm. Man, on the other hand, cannot escape change, and that is good news, really, even though a lot of times the change is for the worst, but also it holds the hope that man can change for the better. That's good news. Okay, but God never changes. All right, now to the subject at hand today, God's omniscience. God knows everything. This is at the same time awesome and scary, especially when we think about the not so nice things about us that God knows. And we'll talk more about that later. Excuse me. Gotta watch that. God knows everything that is, everything that was, everything that will be, or everything that could be. And I want to talk more about that. God knows everything that could be. He knows all things instantly and equally well, and has always known them from time immemorial. This is another way of saying that God never learns. Think about that. God never learns. It's not that God is opposed to learning, especially for us humans. But in his case, he cannot learn because he already knows everything that can be learned. So how can he learn anything? To not know something would be the measure of his imperfection, of which he has none. Who would teach him? The scriptures give strong affirmation of the totality of God's knowledge. In Isaiah 40, verses 13 and 14, we read, "Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, has taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him the path of justice, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding?" Then the answer to that question is no one. God cannot be told anything that he doesn't already know. In Romans 11:34, we read, "For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor?" And again, the answer is no one. When it comes to trying to understand the infinite, Tozer, this one that I respect so much and has written this wonderful book, Knowledge of the Holy. I hope that you get it and read it if you haven't already. Tozer makes the point that it may be easier to understand what God is not like than to try to state what he is like. You got to think about that for a minute. He says, "We have seen that God has no origin." Now, all of these things are negative statements about God. God has no origin. But that says something about God, doesn't it? He has no origin. He has no beginning. He requires no helpers. He suffers no change. And in his essential being, there are no limitations. In Isaiah 40:28, we read, "Have you not known, have you not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, faints not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding." Another negative statement that says, in effect, he understands everything. We can't understand it, but he does. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. I love that phrase. You would say that the phrase God is light says it all, doesn't it? But the inspired writer says, in him is no darkness at all. Not the slightest bit of darkness. Total moral purity. That's why I wanted to sing Holy, Holy, Holy. That's what's implied in that particular hymn. He is perfectly holy, which means he is perfectly morally pure. And there is no darkness, that is no evil, no moral impurity in him. Another negative that tells us a lot about God. God cannot lie. He will not lie. With God, nothing is impossible. See, all of these negative statements tell us a lot about what God really is. And so, in this case, as we think of his omniscience, there is nothing that God does not know. So I'm thinking you got the point here on this. We'll move on. Nonetheless, Tozer lists a number of things that God knows. He made an attempt, and in one short paragraph, he did a pretty good job, better than I could do. So let's just look at one of these quotes from Tozer's book. God knows instantly and effortlessly all matter and all matters, all mind and every mind, all spirit and all spirits, all being and every being, all creaturehood and all creatures, every plurality and all pluralities, all law and every law, all relations, all causes, all thoughts, all mysteries, all enigmas, all feelings, these are things that God knows, all desires, every unuttered secret, all thrones and dominions, all personalities, all things visible and invisible in heaven and in earth, motion, space, time, life, good, death, good, evil, heaven and hell. Now, you may be able to add something to that list of things that God knows, but there's nothing on that list that you can take out because God knows all of those things. Impressive, isn't it? We know all this inherently. If God knows everything, okay, he knows everything. Think of it, and he knows that. But just to, as it were, see the list or to expand it like that, I think, well, it increases my appreciation, and I trust it does yours as well. God's omniscience is inseparable from his other attributes. One attribute implies another. See, all of his attributes are tied together. He doesn't do one thing and then finish that and then move on to something else and finish that. All of these things exist simultaneously to the complete degree. They don't get better. They don't get worse. They don't change. All things, all the time. This can be said of God's attributes. And so, along with God's omniscience, he is self-existent and self-sufficient, as we've already discussed here. How can his self-existence and his self-sufficiency exist apart from perfect knowledge of all things? Because God knows everything, he can be self-sufficient. The attributes tie together. Last time we talked about God's immutability, how he is what he has always been and always will be, but there is no need of change if he already knows all that can be known. God doesn't need to change. He already knows everything. So his omniscience ties in with all of his other attributes, and like all the other attributes, exists and has always existed in the completeness of their nature, and has from an eternity past and to an eternity in the future. Only an infinite, all-knowing God could know not only everything that was, is, and will be, but everything that could be. Now, this means something to me. He knows everything that could be. We might think that it would be a simple thing, even an arbitrary thing, for God to change circumstances around the world or as they affect us or me personally, but only he knows the ramifications of such changes if they were to be made. Where it comes to events that impact us personally, it should be sufficient for us to know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. All of God's dealings with us have a specific purpose, and included in that is our benefit and his glory. All things work together for good to them that love God. So I think about this in connection with my prayer life. We come to God with our requests. And I don't know about you, but I never hesitate to tell God what I think he ought to do, or at least what I think I would like to see done, knowing, of course, that he is supreme. And you know, a lot of people get hung up with the idea that as to whether or not they're asking in the will of God. Don't worry about that. Just go ahead and ask him, because if it's not in his will, he's not going to do it anyway, because all things work together for good. He knows that if he would change the circumstance, say you want something, but the answer appears to be no, it's not going to happen. Well, what if he changed and allowed it to happen? Think of all the events around the world that would have to be readjusted just because he changed that one thing that you want him to do. No, God is not going to do that. He doesn't need to do that because he knows the end from the beginning. And he knows that he knows everything that could be. And when God says no, there's just as much love inherent in that answer as when he says yes. He says no because he loves us, just like he loves us when he says yes. So all things work together for good. So God knows everything that could be, what is good for us and what is good for everything else in the world, all at the same time. Only an infinite God can do that. So this has an impact on my prayer life, or it should have anyway. When God says no, there's a good reason, and praise his name for it. Believe me, it's for our best interest and it's for his glory. Okay, moving on from that. God is self-existent and self-contained, and he knows what no creature can ever know, and that is himself perfectly. Only God knows himself perfectly. The things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Only the infinite can know the infinite. Only God knows all about himself. He has not disclosed that to us. What we will learn in glory will be interesting, to say the least. Then we will know even as we are known. But how can, even in glory, we know the infinite? I just have to feel that there are going to be things about God that I will never know, and that he doesn't and it's probably for my good. And he definitely thinks I don't need to know it, otherwise he would have told me. So, any rate, whatever. Only the infinite can know the infinite. That God knows everything about us is scary, especially where it comes to unflattering things, concerning our sins and our weaknesses. God knows all of them, and we know that. Hebrews 4, 12 to 13 says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." I don't know what that does to you, but that's kind of scary to me. No hiding anything from God. And not only does he know all events, he knows all motives. You know, we can do something that may look good on the outside, and it may people may be inclined to give us the benefit of the doubt and say, "Oh, that person did it for the right reason." But only God knows the real reason why he did it, and the reason may be entirely unrelated, and the motive may be wrong. But God knows not only events, but he knows motives as well, according to this verse. Something to remember. Proverbs 15:3, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." Now, Psalm 139 tells us of this particular aspect of God's knowledge. We read in Psalm 139 that God understands our thoughts afar off. And there is not a word in our tongues, but lo, O Lord, you know them altogether. We would not be comfortable having others know everything we said or thought, and how much more uncomfortable are we when we become aware that a righteous, holy God knows our thoughts and our words. They shout out that we are sinful people, fallen creatures, unable to control ourselves or to make amends for our sins. It's useless to hide anything from God because God knows everything. It didn't work for Adam and Eve, and it won't work for us. We are forced to agree that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and that the wages of sin is death. It's sobering to realize that God knew all of the sins we have committed or ever will commit, and then poured out his wrath against them, not on us who deserved it, but on his one and only Son. It was because of our sins that Jesus went to the cross. Jesus paid the penalty for our sins in those 3 hours of darkness on the cross when he could be heard to shout, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And he knew and knows each and every one of those sins. We have a hymn, there's a line in it that says, "God who knew them laid them on him, and believing we are free." And that leads to another thought. At the same time, isn't it wonderful to know that there isn't some sin, some word, some thought, some deed that will come tumbling out of a closet at some future date that was overlooked and not covered by Jesus' sacrifice on the cross? Isn't that comforting to know? All of it was taken care of. Nothing overlooked. God knows everything. He knows all of the sins, and he dealt with each and every one of them when he punished the Lord Jesus Christ in our place on the cross. God knows each and every sin and made provision for us that despite those sins, we could be brought back to a place of eternal fellowship with him. He has redeemed us by the blood of the Son of God. Our sins have been dealt with to God's complete satisfaction. Isn't that marvelous to know? His complete satisfaction. You think if there were just a few scattered sins that somehow got pushed to one side and weren't quite covered at the cross, you know, you think that could happen? No. God got them all. The ones on the fringes, the ones swept under the rug, all of those came out. Jesus dealt and paid with them on the cross and paid the penalty for them. Our sins have been dealt with to God's complete satisfaction, and it is He who must be satisfied, because it is He and He alone who defines what sin is. Their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Now, that's a significant phrase. I will remember no more. We were talking about all the things God knows. But in this particular case, He says, I will remember them no more. He's not thinking about them. God knows everything, but He chooses not to remember our sins. The God who knows everything tells us that He is deliberately choosing not to remember our sins. We don't understand this, but we believe, because He who promises is faithful. When God saves us, He chooses to see no longer us in our sins, but in the righteousness of His Son. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. God gives us His Spirit that works within us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Since we live in the Spirit, we should walk in the Spirit, but still our flesh wars against the Spirit, so that we don't always do what we want to do and ought to. But among the infinite number of things God knows, we are assured in Psalm 103 that as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities us who fear Him. He knows our frame and remembers that we are dust. We fail. We can't stand ourselves because we do it again and again. God knows all that. He knows that we're just dust. He made us that way. In Romans 8, 26 and 27, we read, likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We don't know what we need or what is best, but God knows, because He is omniscient. He knows everything. God knows experientially what we go through. And this is important. I realize that the time is up, so we're going to hit this. But this is a vital truth. God knows personally what we go through. He acquired this knowledge by actual experience. Think about it. He was tested in all points, referring now to the Lord Jesus Christ, as we are, yet without sin. Jesus was exposed to all of the temptations that we have while He walked this earth. So in Hebrews 2, 17 and 18, we read, therefore, in all things, He had to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that He Himself has suffered, being tempted, He is able to help them that are tempted. Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, faced everything we have gone through or could go through. All the disrespect, the rejection that we sometimes feel, unfaithfulness that people are to us, unthankfulness that people haven't expressed to us, loneliness. He knows our loneliness, our sorrow, our loss, our physical pain. He knows torture. He knows death. God knows all of those things experientially because he lived it while he was here on this earth. So he is our faithful high priest. You can go to God in prayer and know that he knows what you're going through. He went through it himself. Tested in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. So God knows the bad stuff about us, but he also knows the good. And we should have spent just as much time on this as we did about the other things. But just let me summarize it in one phrase. God will never forget a cup of cold water that we give in his name, to say nothing of all of the other things we attempt to do for him. God knows all of those things. He knows, you know, the eye of the Lord is there beholding the evil and the good. God knows the things that we try to do for him. And he knows the motive, just like he knows motives when they're bad. He knows when what we do is in response to the Holy Spirit, when we're trying to do it right as best we know how. God knows that. And he appreciates it. It glorifies him. And he blesses us for it. Man, we could go on 5 minutes over. Well, what do you expect? It always happens. So, at any rate, we'll let it go at that. When you're talking about an infinite God, when are you going to quit? So, okay, that's the frustration of the whole thing. But that's the blessing of the whole thing. We have much to learn in the future as eternity unfolds. Think of everything we're going to learn up there. Someday we're going to know even as we're known. Praise God. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us so much, for knowing all about us, knowing that we're just dust. You made us that way. You understand our weaknesses, and you've made provision to help us in our weaknesses. And you sent your Son, and he knows our weaknesses. He went through it all. Rejection, physical pain, everything that's bad, he suffered at the hands of the likes of us, but he did it for us. What can we say but thank you? We're so happy that you know everything about us, the good and the bad. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for showing us what God is like. We give you thanks in his name. Amen. Yeah. I better shut this off. Yeah. We won't pass any secrets, but it should be shut off anyway. If I can fish it out. Okay. There we go.